any glimmers of hope of potentially loosening of some of the regulations have just seemed to have gone nowhere until now. It's huge.
Hi, I'm John Yeager, and this is Bloodworks 101, the podcast designed to inspire you to donate either time, money, or blood. This is a special bonus edition of Bloodworks 101 because this week is something special when it comes to blood donation. This week, Wednesday, December 6th to be exact, Bloodworks Northwest will join other blood banks across the country in implementing the new FDA guidelines on blood donated by gay and bisexual men. There was an article in Monday's Seattle Times written by Daniel Beekman entitled "More Gay Men Will at Last Be Allowed to Donate Blood in Seattle This Week." Actually, it's all across the Pacific Northwest, from Bellingham, near the Canadian border, all across western Washington and western Oregon, to Eugene and parts south near the California border. And I suppose the key words are, at last. One of those quoted in the article is Seattle's John Rubino, a gay man who considers Wednesday, December 6th, a very special day.
Because first time in my lifetime, I'm actually going to be able to donate blood.
It's a day that many of us really, I'm going to say, there were times when I never thought I'd get here.
You know, it's interesting because donating blood to me was something that happened, or the thought of donating blood after the ban was in place. So I never really thought that there was a time that I could give blood. So all of these years coming and going with like any glimmers of hope of potentially loosening of some of the regulations have just seemed to have gone nowhere until now. It's huge.
Tell me about 2020. You tested positive for COVID like many of us did. After a couple of weeks, you thought, hey, I'll offer to donate my convalescent plasma. What happened?
Yeah, so I got COVID in March, early March of 2020. And I was in quarantine for over 5 weeks. So I had a pretty bad case. And the first thing I thought about, because all over the news was convalescent plasma was what one of the one hopes that people had to try to help people who had severe cases of COVID. So the first thing I thought about was that's something I can do so that nobody else has to go through what I went through with COVID, or as badly as I went through it with COVID. And I signed up for it. I showed up for my appointment and I filled out a form and I filled it out honestly. I filled out everything I was supposed to. And it asked about gay men or men who have sex with men. And I checked the box. And somebody came into the room and told me I'm not able to donate my plasma because no blood or element of blood from a gay man can be put into another human being. And I was mortified.
Especially when you say the first thing I thought of was, how could I help?
Yeah, because it was terrible. And all you saw were the news stories about how much people were suffering. And I knew that I had such a bad case and that I thought my plasma would be really strong. And I was so excited about it. I went down there proud to be able to donate and do my part. And I just left absolutely deflated.
Were you bitter?
That's a good word. I'm not going to say bitter. There's the ups and downs and I'll use the term discrimination that I've had to endure almost my entire life at various points in my life. So I wasn't bitter. I almost had to just shrug and just kind of go like, still, we're still at this.
Especially when you think, how hard it is to convince people to donate blood in the first place. And here we've got somebody who wants to do it. And no, we can't, we just can't take your blood. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, it's the crazy part. I was going to say, especially when you hear about the shortages of blood and knowing that you've got a whole community of people that are just unable to donate. It is infuriating.
Your PR firm, Green Rubina, has been very active in pitching this story and helping us develop it and get the industry to move down the line towards where we are today. The industry told you that they don't want your blood, and yet your firm was actively helping to raise awareness on this thing. It seems like there's a disconnect there.
You know, look, it's a professional and a personal passion. If you take a look, the agency did a campaign called End Donation Discrimination. I think it was last year. It was something that the staff got together and pitched that to myself and my business partner, Stacia, because they were so passionate about the idea. And it was nothing I initiated. And they came to me and asked if it was okay if they got involved and put together a campaign and just did it on their own. And it just kind of goes to show the passion and the feelings that the agency had and wanting to try to make a difference and try to move the dial on this one.
Wednesday, December 6th, yes. You're going to be part of basically Green Rubino is going to take over the Seattle Central Donor Center, right?
That's right. Yeah, there's a whole group of us that are signed up. We've got our time slots ready, and we're going to be giving blood.
How do you think you're going to feel when you sit down on that bench and they prep your arm for donation?
Well, everybody said, I hope you're not going to be queasy about it. And, you know, because I wasn't able to give blood for donating the plasma, I did enter into a research study with Fred Hutch. So I regularly still give blood to that study. I'm in a cohort with them. So I think it's going to be easy for me and not feeling nervous about it. But I, like I said, I'm going to have a big smile on my face. I don't like needles, but I'm going to like this one.
I don't know anybody who likes needles. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. We did a research thing, John, a couple of years ago with Harris Interactive, and we asked people what kept you from donating blood. The number one reason why people don't donate blood is fear of needles. And yet, everybody who's in there donating, whether it's for research or for red blood cells or plasma, nobody likes needles.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't refute that. I'd be one of those.
Well, then I don't need to remind you to drink plenty of fluid and take an iron supplement. And if you're worried about blood pressure, don't drink a lot of coffee, because those are the three things that have always been little roadblocks for me. But one by one, I've addressed them only because I donated blood and I found out about those things. So,
yeah.
So back in the 80s, tell me about... In the Seattle Times article, Dan talked to you about the wounds that heal, and he brought us back to the 1980s. Tell us about your involvement with this whole issue back then.
Yeah, so, you know, I graduated from college in 86. So when I moved back to New York, I'm a New Yorker. You know, New York was in the middle of the AIDS crisis. And, you know, similarly, kind of my mindset was, what are the things that I can do to sort of help my community at that point in time? And I lived in Chelsea, and there was an organization called GMHC, the Gay Men's Health Crisis. And one of the recruiting programs that they were doing was for this buddy system. So we were volunteer buddies who went to the homes of people who had either HIV or full-blown AIDS at that point in time and weren't well enough to be able to go to the market or to pick up their prescriptions and quite honestly, didn't really want to go out of the house because of some of the ailments that they had, the AIDS-related ailments. And, you know, a lot of people at that point in time were hesitant to be around people who had AIDS. And, you know, there was that whole fear about how can you catch it and is it airborne? I knew a little bit more about the science because of my volunteer work with GMHC. And I was a buddy and I was helping people where I could. And it was through all of that work that I actually found out that there was this ban in place, a lifetime ban that had put in place. And again, all I could do at that point in time was shake my head. Now, granted, they didn't have the screening capabilities that they have today. It's just remarkable that it's taken them this long to sort of reverse that ban and go a different direction.
But what do you tell others in the LGBTQ+ community about donating blood? You're going to do it.
Yeah, so look, I'm gonna be like Bloodworks Northwest biggest proponent here. I'm gonna be out there talking to people and talking to my friends and tell them that you can now donate blood. I think that there's a big group of my friends that are gonna be willing to do this and gonna want to do this. It's funny. I had a conversation with the journalist Dan who wrote the article. And he was saying, do you think people even know that this ban is in place or was in place? And I'm like, of course they know. And I was like in my own little bubble. And the more people I've had conversations with about this had no idea. I mean, they just had no idea. So I think it's big news. I think it's something that the time has come. And I would not be surprised if Bloodworks Northwest had a nice little line and contribution from the LGBTQ plus community.
All right, so let me throw this out there. I've been trying for the last, well, for the last few years since we've been really on the forefront of advocating for change for this. I've been curious about just what kind of bump you think could exist. Now, to this day, the formula is like 38% of those people who actually can donate. That's the percentage who can donate. And of that, we get
Yes.
less than 10, probably 5%. And
Yeah.
again, a lot of this is people that don't even know that there's a blood shortage. So a lot of it is
Yeah.
awareness. Any idea as to what kind of bump we could get as a result of this?
Gosh, that's a good question. I've seen some studies from some of the markets that have adopted this policy earlier than the US has. I have to think that because of the size of the LGBTQ plus community in Seattle, and being a large percentage, if you look at based on other markets in the US, a larger percentage. I think that the opportunity for a bump is more significant than maybe in other markets in the US. I can't quantify it, but I'm looking forward to seeing the
Boy, we all are. I mean, yeah, it could be
stats.
thousands. It could be thousands.
Yeah.
And when you think that we need 1,000 donations, we need 1,000 people to come in every day in the Pacific Northwest. And of those 1,000, we may have maybe 10% that are deferred because of high blood pressure, low iron, whatever, all those little things. So we need at least 1,000 people to come in every day in order to meet the demand. So any kind of bump, man.
That's a staggering number. I mean,
Yeah.
it really is.
And and if you need it, you need it. And there can't be any negotiation. It's just, if you need the blood, you need the blood. Anything I haven't asked that you feel is relevant to to this discussion right now?
Nothing else. I'm excited. I'm relieved. I really do want to thank Bloodworks Northwest for sort of leading the charge in this as well. It's something that I'm thrilled. I mean, I can't say it enough. I can't wait.
Well, we can't wait. And thank you, first of all, for doing this. But, beyond that and above everything else, thank you for your donation. And you've persisted in doing it, even when they said no, and they said
Yeah.
no to your convalescent plasma. You did it for research. So, my hat's off to you, man. I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I'll be there.
John, thank you very much. I'll see
Okay.
you Wednesday.
Seattle's John Rubino talking about that special day here in the Pacific Northwest, Wednesday, December 6th, when John and many gay and bisexual men will finally be able to donate blood. Make your appointment today. Go to bloodworksnw.org. And that wraps it up for this edition of Bloodworks 101. I'm John Yeager. See you next time.